I'm really pleased to welcome to the show my next group of, what would I call them? I went to see a play. I went to see a play just a little while ago, and, you know, we're now talking about the art. We're talking with the artists who actually had been in that, were in that play. And it was an extremely, it was an extremely moving, you know, piece. And it was, and I'm very pleased to be welcoming people to it. We're going to hear from them as the creators of Poor Claire. And I want to say that I've seen scores of plays, and few have drawn me in during the first 2 minutes, solely on the basis of great writing and the way Poor Claire died. Okay, the playwright. I don't want to massacre this person's name, but I think it's Chiara Atik, said, "I found I was having a lot of conversations with my friends in which we would despair about everything from income inequality to homelessness to the refugee crisis and famine in Yemen. We would get ourselves all worked up over dinner, and then we'd go back to my apartment and turn on Netflix and resume my normal life." So she wrote a play about the 13th century Italian nun, Claire of Assisi, and we're here to talk, and she's here to talk with us about all this. And you know, basically, like I said, she's here to talk about all this. And she's, and I think, is this who we're going to? We're mainly going to be talking with Claire. Is that? Hi, Claire. How are you? I'm just going to go ahead and say, okay. Welcome to the show, and I really want to talk to you. Wow, that was, you know, that was a really remarkable show. And I know we're going to have a few other people on, Alana Dietz and Michael Sturgis, and we'll bring them on in a minute. But I wanted to talk to you about, I wanted you to sort of jump in here and tell us what's happening here. Okay, what's happening in this situation? What made you bring that, you know, because there's something concentrated in that very powerful play that you guys have put on. So let's talk about that. Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Hang on, we're having a very hard time getting people on. Let's talk to Alana first. Alana, can you talk with me?
Hi there.
Hi. Good to hear you.
You too. How are you?
I'm all right. I'll be better when we start talking, so let's jump into it. So what are we, you know, we're going to hear about this. And I really do think that, you know, I think that the basic thing of what the playwright said about, I found I was having a lot of conversations with my friends in which we would despair about everything from income inequality to homelessness to the refugee crisis and all of that. But we would get ourselves all worked up over dinner and then go back to my apartment and turn on Netflix and resume my normal life. But you seem to, you are actually in a play that is actually just raging against that kind of thinking. All right, so so let's talk about that. Let's talk about your take on that.
Yeah, well, I'm actually the director. I'm not performing in the play.
So you're the director. Okay.
Yes, I'm the director.
Okay.
But yes, that's exactly what drew me to this piece. I felt, you know, very much reflected in Chiara's writing, both just in the way that she writes dialogue, which felt very reflective of the way that me and my friends talk, and in the way she tackles this question of what do you do when there's so much suffering in the world, so much pain, and there's these giant problems. You were just talking about climate change and, you know, the homelessness crisis and war in Afghanistan. There's so many things that are bringing immense suffering in the world. And how do you face those problems and then also still live your life? Or if you can't live your life, what does that mean? You know, how do you save your soul in the face of all of that and continue to go on? Or what is the correct response? And I think that's the question that the play really asks and grapples with.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that really got to me, though, is that, look, you know, you're talking about all these things that are happening. And basically, it's, you know, people, there was a lot of, you know, there was people seriously gaining things from it. There were people who were, you know, there were places where you would laugh in it. But then when you step back at the end of it, it really was something that was just very, very moving, very moving. And I want to actually also bring into the scene Michael Sturgis and Jordan Hall as well. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, what's your thoughts on this?
Hi.
Hi.
I am so glad that you made it to the play. My thoughts on it are, at least in playing St. Francis, it has been kind of a dissonance from who I am. And Kiara has, the reason she wrote this play is she is not a saint. She is not Claire. And she is choosing to, as we all are, walk by people who are destitute and maybe do something about it, but, not give up everything and not take the kind of actions that saints took. And I wonder if there are people doing that today. I think there are, but it's interesting to see these characters as kind of an example of that. And that they were saints for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm trying to get everybody in for a minute. So Jordan, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Sounding good. what I'd like to ask you is, I think it's very heavy. There's this kind of, the opening scene introduces us to Claire's life in 13th century Italy, which I got to remind you, reminded me of a lot of places where I found myself in current place America, feeling like people were getting a better deal many years ago. Anyway, but the point being, there's this whole situation that's going on here where there's a funny story or a bit of gossip that they tell about someone stripping his clothes off in the marketplace and what happens in that scene. It's really something that's very, it's jolting when you hear about that and you're talking about that. I wanted to know if you had anything to say on that and to give people a sense of what we're talking about here.
About,
Pardon me?
About Francis and what she heard in that scene.
Yeah. And because it's interesting because I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood, a Catholic school, Catholic school all the way through my college. Right. And it was one of those things where you really had to rebel at a certain point against a lot of this stuff. And I was thinking about this thing about, just watching the way that you folks had actually put this play together and what it brought to people. I mean, even the location of the people of the people performing in the play were things that actually really carried on, a whole point that's going on here. Right. And I think it'd be good if you could actually give people a deeper understanding of what we're talking about happening here. What was happening in that opening scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so great about Kiara's work is that it's, like you were saying, it's not too dissimilar to modern day. You can easily see people talking about some gossip in the salon and kind of the same language, but with Claire and the opening scenes and hearing about Francis doing something so radical, it just kind of shows the first seeds of what it is to hear something that's radical and different, and how she really responds to that with curiosity and eventually goes to meet Francis and then starts this whole journey. But I think what it shows is just like an openness to, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That point, though, which is really interesting, I think that this point about, when we're talking about this certain in terms of the influence of Francis of Assisi, and I think that there's, also the statue that we were just talking about, the women in society, and what she's actually has to look forward to is if she, as a woman, stands in the path which has already been chosen for her. And that's one of the things that was really, that was very, very, very moving, okay? It was very moving in that sense. I mean, I don't think there was anybody who could watch that and just think, have to take a deep breath in terms of what was being unleashed in relation to that, how people could understand what the hell is happening here.
Right.
Is there anyone who would like to talk about that a little?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we talked about a lot in rehearsal is Claire's choices are so limited. Mm-hmm. She expects to be married off to a suitor, and the suitor isn't quite what she envisions as her perfect Prince Charming. And once she's married, she'll live a life of privilege where she's waited on, where she has servants, and, you know, it would probably be a pretty good life. But what Claire grapples with throughout the course of the play is if that would really be a satisfying life for her. And the more that she, you know, becomes friends with Francis, and the more that they sort of help each other dig into their ethics and morals, the less that becomes a viable option for her.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, and it's very heavy because, you know, I think actually when I think about the point of, I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood, a Catholic school, all the way through to the point when I opened my eyes and saw that I wasn't very, you know, excited about all that. In fact, I was learning all these things that were going to put me back in the 12th century, you know, and it's a good thing that things started to develop big time in the 60s, because I would have been lost without that, you know. And you know, right now, though, I'm thinking about, you know, right after you were just talking, it's like, what's, and maybe, I don't know, you know, Alana, Jordan, who, you guys will pick which one of you wants to talk, all right? What's the role of language and the ability of the play to touch people with its meaning and message? That was a very important role. And why does it make a difference that it's in a modern language and not just any modern language? You know, some of the characters talk like vowels, some type like young women from the San Fernando Valley. All of these things. Let's talk about that a little.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Kiara wanted the play to be reflective of her experience. And so, like I said, I felt this too when I first read it, was that's me on stage. That's me and my friends. That's the way we talk. And she does have a couple of moments in the play that I don't want to give away, but there's a couple of moments that become sort of out of time, in which our beautiful period costumes are in contrast to something else that's happening on stage. And I think that having the language be modern day also makes it accessible and makes it, you know, just very clear that what we're talking about is not something that only happened in 1211. It's happening now. And also it makes it very funny and enjoyable for modern audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, Michael, do you have anything to add?
I mean, you were speaking about this place with kind of such a grave tone, and it does strike a question. You know, the audience does leave with a question to ponder, definitely. I wouldn't say that it is a depressing play. I think the process of the play is really enjoyable, and I'm sure that, you know, that's how you experienced it. And Jordan was saying earlier that it's almost like a gentle manipulation of, like, the question is really, you're eased into it, and suddenly you are facing this heavy moral dilemma, which, you know, it seems has been going on for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think that's really important. I just wanted to make that point. I'm not advocating, you know, some of the stuff that was going on earlier, but I think that this is a very important point in terms of, you know, what was developing in the play. And I thought that was something that people really need to, you know, think about. And I'd like to talk about it a little bit more if you can. You know, like, for instance, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Michael, Jordan, I guess Michael maybe hadn't spoken a lot, but, you know, this there's a lot in this play towards that, and towards the end, when Claire decides to change her life and basically found an order aligned with the work of Francis of Assisi, Francis that has this moment of doubt. And tell us what happens there and what you think that says.
Well, for me, that is the most, I'm very grateful for that moment, because otherwise the person who I am playing is incredibly saintly and, you know, seems to have no flaws or no catch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we the rehearsal process decided to make Francis a sort of almost like hipster type in his beliefs and his kind of preaching his beliefs. Like, there was an element of, oh, I'm trying to make a point in a way that is cool, but without even being mainstream, you know, because I am the only one who even does this kind of thing. And then he is ultimately tried and falls through in a way for a moment. And Claire supersedes him a bit in how hard and steadfast her beliefs are. Mm-hmm. And
we're missing a lot of what you just said because it's been choked, sort of got, going in and out.
Oh.
So just the last thing that you said,
Oh, that they need each other mm-hmm. In order to, validate what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing is, look, the play was originally scheduled, and I think this is going to have to be our last question because we're really running up against things. This play was originally scheduled for the worst starting date in recent history, March 2020, right? And I'm very happy that you all overcame as a sort of a cosmic bad luck. Where and when can people see the play? How can they actually dig into that from that standpoint? So how are they going to get out there?
We play Fridays through Mondays in Atwater Village at the Atwater Village Theater, and the shows are at 8 p.m., Friday, Saturday, Monday, and then 4 p.m. on Sundays. And the tickets can be bought at echotheatercompany.com. Theater spelled T-E-R, not T-R-E.
Mm-hmm. And I want people to know that this is a play for your head and the heart. And it's a very funny, and it's poor Claire. So go see it. Don't miss it, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's really, I went there, and I was, Lucy Pollock, who was the person that actually tipped my hat to it, my head to it, towards it, and I went and found out that actually, once again, it was a really remarkable piece that I've been directed to, and I was really happy to be there and to see how the people reacted and to listen to what was being said and what was being done. I think it was an incredibly entertaining and serious at the same time. I'm very happy that you all overcame a sort of cosmic bad luck, like I said, and people, again, let's give them, as you're going out, let's give them a real just hit. Where can they see it? How can they see it? What's it going to take to get in the doors?
We're at the Echo Theater Company at the Atwater Village Theater, and you can find us at echotheatercompany.com.
Okay. And I'm probably going to bring back a whole wagon train full of people, okay?
Yes, please do.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Sure,
Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, you're welcome, and thank you.
So
thank
much.
You. Thank you, folks, for doing this. All right, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. All right?
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you. Bye now.